You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 13th of October 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I thought today we would take a look at a particular incident that happened at one of these parent-teacher association meetings in America. And lots of mothers have been complaining there about the books that they've been finding in the library which promote pedophilia. Literal pedophilia amongst adults and small boys, which one of these mothers' 10-year-old son was reading, and that this book had been recommended by the mainstream newspapers. There have been complaints about critical race theory being taught there, that this divides people and is anti-white, and it teaches white students that they are responsible for all the problems that the black students are facing, that they are responsible for slavery and that they enslaved their classmates and mistreated them, all these awful things. And it then turns out that these teachers that are there, or the people that are on these associations, there are a lot of communists that are now actually on these school boards, and they complained to Joe Biden, and it looked like Joe Biden was trying to suggest that these concerned parents were domestic terrorists, and there was a call to have them redefined as domestic terrorists simply for going in and complaining about what was going on in the schools. And the particular incident that led to this accusation of domestic terrorism was one particular father, and we're going to look at that today and just what happened to him. A Virginia father who went viral after being dragged out of a Loudoun County school board meeting and arrested for protesting its proposed transgender policies has now revealed he was trying to tell the room that his daughter had been raped by a boy at school in the girls' bathroom. So this was portrayed as if this was a protest about allowing boys into the girls' bathrooms. And in actual fact, it was because his daughter had actually been raped by a boy in this bathroom. Now, they keep trying to do this. They've introduced it in various primary schools in Britain now. I know people that have actually left the country because they didn't want their daughters to have to share the school toilets with the little boys. I was told that the little boys would try to climb over the cubicle tops, or they would try to look underneath. I mean, just practical joke sort of things going on. But when you get this at a secondary school, and you've got youths that have gone through puberty and their hormones are going, it's just asking for problems like this. Obviously, if somebody was raped, I mean, that's more than a case of hormones. That the guy's obviously has psychopathic problems there. But the fact is that he would not have been able to do this. It would have been picked up on straight away that a male had gone into the girls' bathroom, and this would have been prevented. And worse than this, this was portrayed as if this father was somehow the bad guy in all of this. Scott Smith was photographed on June the 22nd being dragged out of the heated meeting with his torso exposed in Leesburg, Virginia. The 48-year-old plumber was ridiculed on social media afterwards, and was painted by the left to be a deranged right-wing bigot. And this is what happens. People, genuine people that are concerned about the way that society is going, they will be portrayed as fascists, Nazis, white supremacists. Here this guy's being portrayed as a right-wing bigot simply for speaking up for the girls at his school, and in particular speaking up for his own daughter. In an interview with the Daily Wire that was published on Monday, he explained that he was trying to stick up for his daughter, who was attacked at Stonebridge High School on May the 28th by a boy wearing a skirt. Now, the reason why they are describing it as that is because this boy is not claiming to be transgender. The boy, I believe, claims to be bisexual. Sometimes he wears a skirt, sometimes he doesn't. When he's wearing a skirt, he has to be allowed into the girls' bathroom, of course, which puts the girls at risk. Smith says the boy took advantage of the school's trans policies to get into the girls' bathrooms and assault her. 2 months after the incident, the boy, who has not been named because he is a juvenile, was arrested for forced sodomy. 2 months after the incident, the boy was still there at the school. Who knows what else he was doing? I mean, it may be that he may have attacked other girls and they may be too shy of coming forward to complain about it. And I dare say if people had complained about him before, they would be accused of homophobia, because he would instantly come out and say, well, you're just picking on me because I'm homosexual. This is what happens when you have groups in society that you are not allowed to criticize. In October, the boy was arrested again on different charges for allegedly assaulting a different girl at a different school, and he is now in a juvenile detention center. Finally, he's in a juvenile detention center. But Smith says Loudoun County Schools went out of their way to protect the child, a sexual predator, and the school has still not commented. It has been so hard to keep my mouth shut and wait this out. It has been the most powerless thing I have ever been through, he said. My wife and I are gay and lesbian friendly, but we are not into this child transgender stuff. The person that attacked our daughter is apparently bisexual and occasionally wears dresses because he likes them. So this kid is technically not what the school board was fighting about. The point is that kids are using it as an advantage to get into the bathrooms, he said. And of course, that is really obvious that kids are going to take advantage of this, from kids that want to do it for practical jokes right the way up through to psychopaths and sadists like this monster that raped his classmate and then went on to attack another school kid. We don't know whether he was removed from that school and put into another school, or whether he just happened to be at this other school where he attacked this other girl. On the day of the incident, Smith says the school told him to come to the campus because his daughter had been physically assaulted. They did not say she had been sexually assaulted. Once he got there, he says the school staff told him they would handle it internally, choosing not to call the police for an as-yet unexplained reason. And it has been put forward that the unexplained reason for this is the concern about the school-to-prison pipeline theory, which is basically an attempt to lower the numbers of black people in prison, because they suggest that if you have incidents at school where a black student is accused of stealing from another black student and the school gets the police involved, they say that that sets the student off on the wrong course. He's already been involved with the police, and eventually they end up in prison. It's race-based, basically, this policy. But you would think that they would see that there is a difference between stealing somebody's bag or stealing somebody's trainers and raping and sodomizing one of these students. And again, this shows you how ridiculous these race-based policies are. They end up discriminating against white people. It's quite clear that the girl here that was raped was white, and because the school didn't actually tell the police about it, that implies that the person that did this was black. And again, the reason why I highlight that is to highlight the problems with these race-based policies, not to incite hate against black people. I mean, this is obviously an unbalanced, psychopathic individual, and we have them in all races. The father was enraged by that decision, and he challenged them on it. The school board then did call the police, but to report Smith, the father, not the boy, for making a scene. So again, the good guy here, the man who is standing up for the children, standing up for his daughter, he's the one that the police are called upon. He's the one that is portrayed as being the bad guy here. "I went nuts," he said. "I called the principal a fool. Six cop cars showed up like a SWAT team." So they're quite quick to turn up with the police there to arrest the concerned father. But it would be another 2 months until the police turned up to arrest the guy that had forced himself on the young girl. The school's principal sent out an alert that day warning parents of what had happened involving Smith, but it said nothing of the sexual assault allegations in the bathroom. So the school were warned about what a danger this father was, but they weren't warned about the danger in the school bathroom there of the girl simply wanting to use the bathroom and running the risk of being raped and sodomized when they do. It is unclear exactly what happened next, but Smith ended up at the hospital with his daughter. Thankfully, she was taken to the hospital straight away. There, they told doctors what had happened and a rape kit was performed. "Thank God that I drew enough attention to it without getting arrested, that we got an escort to the hospital and they administered a rape kit that night," he said. That may not have even happened if it hadn't been for the father here insisting on it. The rape kit verified his daughter's claim, so they took it to the police and a case was opened. The teenager was arrested 2 months later after the school board meeting, after an investigation by the sheriff's office. So it wasn't until after he'd actually gone into the school board meeting to say, to give his reasons why they shouldn't be having these multi-gender toilets, and that he was arrested by the police. It wasn't until after that that the rapist was actually investigated. The police say, "We did respond. At the time, the juvenile was 14 years old. He was charged with a forcible sodomy. After that, it goes through the courts." The May 28th, 2021 case at Stonebridge High School involved a different set of circumstances, and a thorough 2-month-long investigation was conducted to determine the facts of the case prior to arrest. "This case is still pending court proceedings," and that's a spokesman for the sheriff's office that was telling us that. In the weeks and months that followed, Lancaster and the juvenile boy's attorneys were working out a plea deal, but it is unclear if the school board ever took action against him. And I guess they would say that it's just the student's human right for people not to know what the school actually did about this. According to Lancaster, the boy confessed to what happened in police interviews. So they have the evidence there on the rape kit. They have the confession there. And yet he was still able to go and do the same a month or so later in another school. Lancaster, who is a partner at the Leesburg firm Whitbeck Bennett, says she accompanied Smith's daughter to interviews with prosecutors. So it's at least she wasn't having to do this herself. I mean, this must have been very difficult for this girl here, that she had to be interviewed by the prosecutors as well. And now we find out why it was that the father got so wild at this school meeting. At the meeting on June the 22nd, Loudoun County School Superintendent Scott Ziegler said the school had never had any form of incident inside a bathroom or locker room involving a transgender child. So I guess what he's doing there is He's lying by omission, really, by not saying that there hasn't been an incident with a child or a bisexual child. He's saying there hasn't actually been one with a transgender child. He says, to my knowledge, we don't have any record of assaults occurring in our restrooms. And that must have been what really set the father off, because he knows that this assault actually took place. And there you've got the school here that are denying it. They're trying to cover this up, I guess, because they don't want to be accused of homophobia. They probably don't want their parents to be concerned about this. Again, and that has to be, because they would be concerned about homophobia and concerned about these transgenders. So they're putting that concern above the needs of the parents to know that their children are safe when they go to the school. He went on to quote Time magazine research that he said disproved the notion that transgender kids might sexually attack cisgender kids. And we know that this does go on in the prisons. I mean, there've been loads of cases where male prisoners have claimed to be transgender and they've been put into a female prison and they've gone on to rape the women inside the female prison. I can't recall whether there have actually been any cases where transgender children have attacked the other pupils there, but that is not to say that it won't happen, because this is a new thing, isn't it, having unisex toilets. He said, I think it is important to keep our perspective on this. We've heard it several times tonight from our public speakers, but the predator transgender student or person simply does not exist. Yes, but the bisexual predator transgender student or person does exist. And the unspeakable has now happened because of this. Smith said he became irate. He started arguing with another woman at the meeting, labelling her a bitch after she allegedly denied his daughter's claim. I think this all hinges around this difference between transgender and bisexual here. The meeting's organisers here are obviously thinking that they can get away with saying that this didn't happen because it was a bisexual lad rather than a transgender. The father was then charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. And this reminds me of the father that tried to rescue his daughter from one of the grooming gangs in Britain, and it was the father that ended up being arrested. Not the grooming gang who were raping his daughter, but it was the father. And you got the same here. You've got a father who is rightfully angry about this lying by omission in the parent-teacher association about his daughter being raped, and he's trying to warn the other parents about this, and the parents are denying that this has happened, because the teachers and the parent-teacher association, they're denying that this has happened. I mean, really, he's just trying to warn these other parents of what is going on. The family then retreated from the public eye, but were working with Lancaster to resolve the criminal case against the boy who assaulted their daughter. They were preparing for an October 14th court date, they say, but were stunned when the same boy was arrested again on October the 6th at a different school in the same district. And as I say, we don't know if that is because the boy was expelled from the school and taken on at another school, or whether he just happened to be there because he knew he could do this in the unisex toilets. On this occasion, he was charged with sexual battery and abduction. In that case, he allegedly held a different girl in a classroom to attack her in Broad Run High School, 2.5 miles from the high school where Smith's daughter was assaulted. So this didn't actually go on in the toilets. This actually went on in the classroom. Smith's attorney says prosecutors told her it was the same child as was involved in the case with Smith's daughter. So why wasn't he removed from the school population? Or why wasn't he held within correctional facilities somewhere to protect the rest of society? Why was he just let out to attack another girl amongst the school population? He said, if someone would have sat and listened for 30 seconds to what Scott had to say, they would have been mortified. and heartbroken, and that's his attorney that is saying this. So this other girl that was attacked, that could have been prevented if people had listened to what he said. But instead of listening to what he said, they called the police, and they presented it as if he was just this right-wing madman. He was a far-right crazy man that was upsetting this meeting. And they applied for parents to be classed as domestic terrorists on the back of this case. He said he does not know if the boy identifies as female, is bisexual, or was just trying to take advantage of the system. I don't care if he's homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, transsexual, or anything else. He is a sexual predator, he said. And I'm sure he will be attacked for being homophobic or transphobic or whatever for those comments as well. Because the case involves two juveniles, there are few publicly available records, and Loudoun County will not comment or give out any information. When contacted on Tuesday morning for a response to Smith's explosive allegations, the school board did not immediately respond. Lancaster, Smith's attorney, did not name the prosecutors who she said she was working with, and sheriff's deputies will not comment. It remains unclear why the boy in question was in the different school where the second assault allegedly took place on October 6th, when he had apparently been in talks with prosecutors to agree to a deal for the May 28th assault against Smith's daughter. So they knew this had gone on. They knew he had been arrested for this. They knew that he was being prosecuted for this, and yet he was still allowed out amongst the school population, but just in a different school. Loudoun County won't say whether or not he was ever suspended or excluded from the school system. Obviously not, because he was still able to attack this other girl in another school. The Loudoun County Sheriff's Office did confirm the October 6th incident, saying in a press release on October 7th, a teenager from Ashburn has been charged with sexual battery and abduction of a fellow student at Broad Run High School. The investigation determined on the afternoon of October 6th, the 15-year-old suspect forced the victim into an empty classroom where he held her against her will and inappropriately touched her. Loudoun County has become a microcosm for the issues tearing parents and teachers all over America apart. The school board has been repeatedly accused of ignoring parents' concerns and vilifying anyone who challenges their view. So this hasn't just taken place against this father. There have been other parents there that have been concerned, and they've been smeared as being right-wing bigots as well. Teachers have quit in outrage over the proposed changes, and they say the school board is trying to force critical race theory and transgender issues onto the kids. And of course, I mean, over here in Britain, we'll have the odd conservative MP that would speak up and say, oh, this is terrible. We don't want children being taught about white privilege. But it essentially comes from the government trying to be inclusive, trying to please everyone, trying to encourage diversity. You can't please everyone all of the time. If you have all these different minorities in society, you can't teach history from the point of view of everyone. And when you start adding sexual minorities into the mix as well, I mean, it becomes even more difficult, because you got transgenders that want to be the same as everybody else, and yet that means that they have to use the toilets of the opposite sex, which creates this sort of an issue. I mean, it's the same with the issue with the Olympics, with the transgenders competing in the women's categories, and the solution to that is, well, just have a separate category for transgenders. And the solution to this is really, you know, you're just going to have separate schools for the transgenders, or a separate bathroom for the transgenders. That would solve the problem. But really, this should never have got this far in the first place. We should not be having children that are supposed transgender. We know that it's the teachers that are now actually diagnosing this. In Scotland, from the age of 3, teachers can diagnose whether a child is transgender and then start calling them by the opposite gender's name and pronouns, and they don't have to tell the parents about this. I mean, this isn't even something that doctors are diagnosing now. It's the biggest trend at the moment is to have a transgender child. and then they're encouraged to go on this pathway that ends up with them not being able to enjoy sex, being infertile, and messing up their bodies and weakening their bones, and claiming that children can actually consent to this. And you've also got this idea that there can be such a thing as a homosexual child. A homosexual is somebody who engages in homosexual acts. That's where the word comes from. If they're not engaging in homosexual acts, they are not a homosexual. And for a child to be engaging in homosexual acts, that means that the child has been abused. So when these people claim that they have gay children, they should really be investigated for allowing the child to be abused somewhere. The age of consent is 16 years of age. You're supposed to be over 16 before you're engaging in sexual intercourse, before you even know if you're homosexual or not, or experimenting with that. And yet they claim now that we have homosexual children, which of course is really just the logical result of teaching children to celebrate gay pride and celebrate homosexualism and promoting it within the schools. This is why there's been this big increase of this. And this is the sort of problems that it is now leading to: children getting raped in their classrooms. I think that the number of children that have actually tried to abuse one another is also something that is massively increasing. And of course, that's down to the proliferation of pornography everywhere, which should not be classed as free speech. It should be classed as obscenity. Getting back to this article here, it is a snapshot of what is happening all over the country. Last week, Florida mother Keisha King called for a mass exodus of kids from the public school system because of how pervasive critical race theory had become. And that is the main thing that the parents are protesting about, is the teaching of white privilege and white guilt, and trying to portray black people as being victims all the time and white people as being their oppressors. But there are also concerns about forcing the children to wear masks, and of course this issue of unisex toilets. Many parents were stunned by a Justice Department announcement last week that the FBI would now investigate and prosecute any parent who it deems to be threatening towards school staff. And of course, that just means that the school staff can say that about any parent that says that they do not agree with what their children are being taught. They can just claim that the parent was being threatening towards them. I mean, they may interpret it as threatening when the parent gets quite irate about something, but it means now that the parent will be treated as if they're a domestic terrorist. The order from Attorney General Merrick Garland was in response to a request from the National School Board Association to President Biden, asking him to protect them from angry parents. So they're not asking the National School Board Association to make changes to protect these children and to not teach them these ideas that divide them and make white people feel guilty. They're going to the school board to ask them to arrest the parents that are upset about this. Maud Maron, a lifelong liberal mother of four and former New York City public defender, is among those who says it is going too far. Writing for Barry Weiss's Substack channel Common Sense on Monday, she said, "I am a mother of four, a criminal defense attorney, and a lifelong liberal who is deeply concerned about the direction of New York City's public schools. I've been outspoken about my views, along with an untold number of frustrated parents, and for that, the FBI is considering using the Patriot Act against me." And of course, this is what people warned about 20 years ago when the Patriot Act came in, and everybody's rights in America were surrendered under the guise of security. And people were saying then, look, you're saying this is okay now because you think it's just going to be used against Muslims, but this is going to be used against you. And you should not surrender your rights and your freedoms and your freedom of speech for any reason. It's essential that democracies have that. And yet the people did surrender them, and now the Patriot Act is being used against white Americans. Exactly what the conspiracy theorists were talking about back then. Absolutely scandalous. And what happens over there, it's going to be happening over here in Britain if it's not already happening. We already have critical race theory being taught in the schools. We already have the transgender toilets. We don't actually have these school boards that meet, not in the way that they do in America. And I can see, well, I hope that we will start to see in Britain angry parents about what is going on in the schools, because something really does need to be done about it. Our children are, well, it's no wonder that they're so neurotic and they're now needing to take antidepressants as if they were adults. The world that we have created for them is absolutely horrendous. And of course, the best way to deal with this, of course, is to homeschool your children. And Patriotic Alternative at patrioticalternative.org.uk have some very useful homeschooling resources for that purpose, if you wish to take that course of action. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.